Sheffield Farms, hello. I don't know. The man just says, guess who? Yes, that's right. It's the game Guess Who, and your host is Sheffield Farms, who also bring you that delicious new Sheffield cream cottage cheese and other fine dairy products. And now let's give a welcome to our genial Sheffield Quizmaster. His new hobby is airplanes. In fact, when he was only 10, he got his first wings, blew them up, and then went swimming. Here he is, Happy Felton!
Thank you, Joe. You're not kidding. This week, I took my first plane ride. The pilot started doing barrel rolls. He did about 15 barrel rolls through force of habit. In his spare time, he delivers beer. Well, I didn't exactly get air sick, but I was sitting in a green seat, and the pilot had to punch around with a long stick to find me. But he found me. The pilot said, don't be afraid, Happy. I know my stuff. I can do anything a seagull can do. I said, well, let's see you prove it. So he ate a herring. Boy, I was really scared, though, that first trip. I said, pilot, please let me know the next time you start to loop the loop. He said, well, I don't always know, Happy. Finally, I said, pilot, are we in danger? He said, I think so. The automatic pilot just bailed out. That was all, brother. I leaped out. I began pulling frantically on that parachute string. I must have pulled the wrong string. 3 seconds later, I had unraveled 4 miles of my long underwear. Well, from now on, I'm shying from flying. I'm just going to play Guess Who? The game where 7 shrewd contestants are ready, willing, and, I hope, able to guess the voices of the various recordings we're going to play. A winning guest wins 10 silvery Sheffield dollars suitable for framing, and a losing guest gets only 2 little bitty, tiny, shriveled-up silver dollars. But either guest is signaled by... listen to those silver eagles screaming. It's a messy United States currency pouring into the old Sheffield milk payola. And at the end of the big doings tonight, all contestants get a chance to frisk it. So far, it contains $65. More to come later, we hope. And there's more to come in another department, too. When some contestant at the mic least expects it, an alarm clock is going to rent the night asunder with ringalings and other stuff. And then what does said contestant get, Joe?
Happy, they get a beautiful Walt Amrist watch, the first American watch, the watch that keeps time beautifully.
That's very nice, Joe. I'm glad they get a Waltham watch. But who's your pal, Joey?
I'd like to introduce Mrs. Betty Brooks of Brooklyn, New York.
Hello, Mrs. Betty Brooks.
Hi, Mr.
How are you feeling?
Fine. A little nervous.
A little nervous? Why? Too hot for you?
Not so.
It's been pretty hot. They're changing the name from Manhattan to Manheaton. Oh, that was about as bad a one as I've ever told in my life. Mrs. Brooks, where do you live in Brooklyn? Don't tell me you're going to be one that can't remember.
No, I live in East New York, Brooklyn.
East New York, Brooklyn. How often do you go to the movies, Mrs. Brooks?
Oh, about twice a week.
What's the first movie you ever saw? Remember?
See, I don't remember that far back.
You don't? Why, is it that far?
It's a long time.
Long time? Well, in a few minutes, Mrs. Brooks, we're going to ask you to identify the voice of an all-time great movie star who is no longer with us. But right now, I want to ask you some questions about housewives. You're a housewife?
Yes, sir.
Do you think the average housewife is happier today than she was in Grandma's time?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Well, you should. You're a modern... Don't say I wouldn't know. You're a modern, up-to-date housewife. What things do you have to work with that Grandma didn't have?
Well, we have the washing machine.
That's right.
The mixers.
What does a modern housewife need to make her life happier, even more so, things you don't have?
I don't know.
What does your husband do, Mrs. Brooks?
He's a cargo checker.
He's a cargo checker? In what company?
He works for the International Freighting Company.
Well, are you kept busy at home?
Well, yes and no.
I'm getting no place with you, Mrs. Brooks. Now, let's start all over again. Do you have any bad habits that your husband objects to?
Yes.
What are they?
I go out too much.
You go out too much. What do you do when you go out? Go to the movies? Play
movies,
bridge?
No. I like to go to radio programs.
You like to go to radio programs. He objects.
Not too much.
Not too much? Well, I don't think that's such a bad habit, going to radio programs. My wife has one bad habit I'm glad you don't have. She lets mosquitoes come into our house. Last night I killed 20 mosquitoes, 15 males and 5 females. I knew their sexes because 15 lit on the bourbon bottle and 5 lit on a mirror. I like that joke, too. I'm glad you laughed, Mrs. Brooks. Let's play Guess Who with you. We'll give you a chance to get $10 to add to your housekeeping budget. That is, if you want to, or else you don't have to tell your old man anything about it at all. All you have to do is tell us the name of this famous theater and motion picture actor. The money's waiting now, Mrs. Brooks. Guess who?
Now I am alone. What a rogue and peasant slave am I. Is it not monstrous that this player here, but in a fiction, in a dream of passion.
She's whispering at me now. Instead of whispering to me, you tell them all who you
are. John Barrymore.
How did you guess it was John Barrymore?
Well, I thought it was him.
You're exactly right. It was John Barrymore. Very good. Wonderful actor, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Here's a wonderful actor, too, Joe Ripley. He acts every week as if he's glad to give you these 10 silver dollars. And here he is.
Thank you very much.
There you are. Thank you, Mrs. Brooks. Thank you very much. Let's have the Navy step up on here now. Ray, raise up that microphone here. He's a big, tall one here. Ray, you pronounce your last name for me.
Betcher.
Betcher, where are you from, Ray?
Minnesota.
Whereabouts in Minnesota?
Jasper.
Jasper, Minnesota. I don't know exactly where that is. Where is it, Ray?
Southwestern corner of the state.
Southwestern corner of the state. Quite a ways over. How long have you been in the Navy?
6.5 years.
What's your job?
Clerical.
Clerical?
Yes.
You've been at sea?
Oh, yeah.
On what kind of a ship?
Carriers.
Carriers? Not a little nervous, Tommy. Just relax. These are all friends of yours. Want you to win the money, and they want you to have a good time. We just want to find out something about you. Now, tell me, did you ever sing?
I lied. I haven't.
When I asked if you'd sang, you said you told me you'd sang in a barber shop quartet.
Off and on.
Off and on. Well, now, look. What kind of a voice would you say you have? Well, is it a tenor or a baritone? I don't mean good or lousy, pardon.
I don't know that either.
You don't? Well, do you want to try it? And I'll tell you.
No.
You don't want to try it? Now, all right, what singer that's in the public eye do you admire the most?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby. Well, now we know the type you like. All right. See, I like to sing, and I know what type of voice I have. I have a wrestler's voice. Sort of half Nelson Eddy. Now, Ray, Mr. Sheffield will give you a silver buckaroo to just kind of settle you down. If you can use notwithstanding in a sentence. Use the word notwithstanding. Well, I'll give you an example. Papa wore out the seat of his pants, notwithstanding. I'll give you another one. Fiddlestick. Use fiddlestick.
Fiddlesticks, I can't do this.
Fiddlesticks, I can't do this. All right, give him a dollar. He used it. I was going to say, if you pull up the blanket too high around your neck, your fiddlestick out. Are you married?
No.
You're not married. Got a special gal? No?
No.
Have you met any nice girls in New York?
No.
Well, would you care to meet my wife's old maid sister? she's a wonderful gal. She has a complexion just like a peach. Yellow and fuzzy. Ray, do you smoke?
Yes.
Now, they claim that last year the average smoker in America smoked 113 packs of cigarettes. How many do you think you smoked? How'd you ever have...
750.
750? In other words, you smoke more. How many packs a day do you smoke?
About a pack and a half, 2 packs.
How'd you happen to start smoking?
I wasn't supposed to.
You weren't supposed to. That's the way we all smoke. Do you think you have a lot of willpower?
No.
You don't have willpower?
No.
Gee. How old are you, Ray?
26.
26. Oh, when I was your age, I had a lot of willpower. I was very forward, too. I was forward on the basketball team. I was forward on sleigh rides, too. Now, Ray, Joe's patting me here on the shoulder. He wants me to play the record for you. Do you want to hear one? I'm trying
know.
To think one that you can win on here now. Let me pick out a good one. Gene Clark's ready back there. All right, here we go. 4 years ago, the young lady whose voice you will hear in just a moment was famous as a movie star. Today, she's equally famous as a radio star. 10 silver Sheffield dollars waiting for you. Guess who?
Wake up and live. Don't mind the rainy powder. And you will find mind over matter. Dark clouds will break up. If you will wake up and live. Wake up and live. Joe
Stafford?
No. I said she was a movie star. I don't think Joe Stafford's been a movie star yet. Now, in one movie, this gal played a famous friend of Diamond Jim Brady's. And right now, well, any minute, she was on all last season, and she's coming back, she'll be on the air with her husband. And her husband calls his other boss Jackson. Oh, she played Lillian Russell. She was magnificent. And then Irving Berlin wrote a song called Alexander's Ragtime Band, and she sang in that. They just revived it. Oh,
Alice Faye.
You know, he said Alice Faye just exactly as the phone started, as the cowbell started to ring. Are you in? Joe says you're in. How do you feel now? Joe had the bell up.
I knew it all the time.
You made it all right. Alice Faye, that's right. Now, she calls... What's her husband's name?
Phil Harris.
Phil Harris. All right, we checked up on him. Okay, $10 for you, Ray. Stand by for the jackpot. Navy took over. You know something, Joe? I've been looking around here, and I just decided that women are getting better looking all the time.
I think you're right. And another thing, Happy, have you noticed how many women today look younger than they really are?
Wonder how they do it.
Well, it could be they drink a lot of milk.
Isn't it amazing how Joe always gets around to talking about milk? Go ahead, Joe. What's milk got to do with looking younger?
Well, let me explain it this way, Hap. Youth and a fresh, lovely complexion just naturally go together. When your skin gets dry, flaky, and lined, you're bound to look older. Now, scientists can tell you that dry skin is one of the first signs of a vitamin A deficiency. And you get this important vitamin A, lots of it, in milk. And something else. Milk gives you other essential vitamins, minerals, and proteins. Nutrients you need for the natural beauty and youthful vitality that come from glowing good health. So, drink plenty of Sheffield Vitamin D homogenized milk and stay on the sunny side of life. It's low in calories, topped in smooth, delicious flavor. Insist on fine Sheffield Vitamin D homogenized milk for good health, good looks, and good drinking.
Very prettily done. And here's a very prettily looking girl coming up here. What is your name, please?
Betty Rhodes.
Is it Miss or am I too late?
Miss, but almost.
Miss, but almost.
Almost too late.
Almost too late, huh? Betty, where do you live?
Jackson Heights.
Jackson Heights, and what do you do?
I'm a reservationist for American Overseas Airlines.
You're in the airplane business?
That's right.
You're worried for fear they'll investigate you?
Not me. I'm a small cheese.
You're just a small cheese. Why? If you have to make reservations, I think that would be rather important. Especially as I read in the papers that the America can't sail. I bet you had a bunch of people trying to get on today, didn't you?
We certainly did. Did business good.
And what reservations particularly do you make?
All overseas points. So London, London, Frankfurt, Copenhagen, Stockholm, Shannon.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you said by saying that I almost missed, you must have a very special one. In other words, you've met your Prince Charming, shall we say?
I have.
And what does he do?
He's a student in college.
I see. Do you have more than one boyfriend, Betty?
Well, not now. It's kind
now.
Of embarrassing.
Well, I was just hoping that if you had an extra one, I'd send him over to meet my wife's old maid sister. She's a bachelor girl, Betty. She's only 38, right at the in-between age. In between eager and desperate. Now, Betty,
yes.
Did the airplane company give you a vacation this year?
They certainly did.
Where'd you go?
San Francisco.
My goodness, flew all the way out there and have a good time?
Wonderful.
Like San Francisco?
Oh, yes.
Do you think that everybody should have a vacation every year, say 2 or 3 weeks, or they should have a couple days all the time to keep them going? We want you to tell us who this famous motion picture radio detective is. You'll hear his voice right now. Guess who, Betty?
It is truly said, the bullet is greater than bulletproof vest. In Adventure, Riddle of Impossible Murder, number one son...
Oh, but what's the character? Come up here. Man by the name of Peter Zorn, is that right?
That's right.
Z-O-R-N?
That's correct.
That's an unusual name. What nationality would that be?
German.
The German?
That's
I say,
right.
What do you do, Peter?
I raise turkeys.
You raise turkeys?
That's right.
How old are you, Pete?
40.
How long you had a turkey farm?
About 15 years.
Where is that farm?
That's in Bethpage, Long Island.
Bethpage, Long Island. Do you believe that farm people are more honest and courageous than city people?
Well, I don't know. I believe that's a hard statement to make.
Well, would you rather live on a farm?
Yes, definitely.
You would. Why?
Well, I like the outdoor life.
You like the outdoor life. You always lived on a farm?
Most of the time.
I had a farm quite a while ago. Had 40 hens and 40 roosters. Of course, I didn't. Well, look what happened to me. You know what happened to you?
I don't.
You don't?
I hear
you weren't listening very carefully. Now, Peter, you don't have to worry about a turkey in this particular case, because you've got one that certainly isn't a turkey. It's a beautiful Waltham wristwatch, the first American watch, the watch that keeps time beautifully, and you won it just by standing up here in front of
you. Thank you.
You like it?
Very strong. Thank
That's
you.
Good. Colo, don't go away. Don't go away. Do you have any children, Pete?
Yes.
How many?
Two.
How do you talk with your kids? Do you talk down to them, or do you carry on intellectual conversations with them?
Oh, I talk to them like a friend.
Like a friend?
That's right.
Are they better educated than you are?
Well, one is going to high school.
One's going to high school. Did you go to high school?
No.
No, you didn't. Well, all right. There's an example. My 10-year-old daughter, Deirdre, proved just how much I taught her. She's much better educated than I am. First time she saw the horses on a merry-go-round, she said, Daddy, where's the $2 Windus? We're going to ask you to play Guess Who with us now. You have the watch in your hand. Don't be nervous. Turkeys will wait. We're going to ask you to listen to the voice of a famous man. I'm sure you remember him. 10 silver Sheffield dollars are waiting for you if you guess who this ex-college professor is. Play it, Pete.
We stand in the presence of an awakened nation. Plainly, it is a new age. There are two great things to do. One is to set up the rule of justice and right in such matters as the tariff, the regulation of trust, and the prevention of monopoly.
You look a little puzzled now, Pete. Now, listen to the hints. Here they are. If we had followed through on one of his big ideas, we'd have saved ourselves a lot of trouble today.
President Hoover.
Who did you say?
Hoover.
No, it's not Hoover. What? I don't know what idea we're thinking about. This fellow was an ex-president of Princeton University, and Hoover came from the West Coast. Hoover was interested more in Stanford. This fellow's initials are WW, and I don't mean Walter Winchell.
Woodrow Wilson.
Who did you say?
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson, he's exactly right. Pay him the money. The man that originally had the idea for the League of Nations, and we're having the United Nations now. If we'd listened to him, well, we might have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. Who knows? Thank you, Peter Zorn. Happy turkey to you. I'll look you up at Christmas time. All right. The Army steps in here. He's a PFT, a private. Your name, please?
Richard Stein.
Dick, where are you from?
Glens Falls, New York.
Glens Falls. How long have you been in the Army?
Going into my first year.
And where are you stationed?
Fort Dick.
What kind of quarters do you have? I mean, tents, barracks, Quonset huts, what kind?
Well, we have a name for them, but they're wooden barracks.
You have a name for them?
Yeah.
That you don't want to tell me now, is that
it? I don't think it would be a problem.
You don't? All right, we won't worry about it. All right. Are they comfortable? Well, you don't at least have to worry about a 15% raise, do you?
No, that's one thing.
My landlord wants to raise my rent, Dick. He's got an awful nerve. My house is so old and weak, every time the wind blows, the termites have to hold hands to keep the building up. Now, soldier, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the Army. Why don't the privates eat their meals with the officers?
Oh, what a leading question.
That isn't a leading question. I want an answer.
Well, they have to pay for it, and we don't.
They have to pay, and you don't?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd tell me that maybe all that saluting would cause such a breeze it would freeze the food or something. Are you a member of the American Legion? Not yet.
No.
Afterwards, huh?
Afterwards.
We have an American Legion coming, convention, you know, coming into New York here. You going to be in town for it?
I want to see the parade.
I was in the parade last year. They asked me to be. They asked me to help out a general in the cavalry.
General the cavalry?
Still feel that saddle on my back, too. All right, Dick. This is the voice of a very charming young lady to play for you. Rather, she's going to sing for you. She's been a movie star for a long time. 10 big Sheffield silver dollars. If you can guess who, play it.
Deanna Durbin.
Who did you say?
Deanna Durbin.
How did you guess it?
When you started to ask for a soldier, you asked for a Deanna.
Yeah. I read the wrong side of the card. It was my mistake. I gave it away myself. Okay. Very good indeed. He knew it. Deanna Durbin, you're quite right. Give him the $10. It was my mistake, but we're glad the Army won it. Welcome to the program, Private Stein. I never pulled a boner like that before, to my knowledge, but Joe, Isn't it about time to tell us something about that swell Sheffield chocolate drink?
Matter of fact, Happy, I was just wondering how many families have some in their refrigerators right now. You're set for a mighty refreshing weekend if you do have, because Sheffield chocolate drink is a great thirst quencher, cooling and satisfying with a rich, chocolatey flavor that is delicious. And on top of all that, it's good for you. Gives you lots of health-building nourishment. So if you don't have Sheffield chocolate drink on hand, better order some from your grocer or Sheffield home service salesman and get plenty, because the whole family will go for that cooling, delicious Sheffield chocolate drink.
Thank you, Joseph. Make way for a nice-looking man here. Your name, please.
Jack Brownfeld.
Jack Brownfeld?
That's right.
And what do you do, Jack?
Scrap iron and metal.
Scrap iron and metal. Where's
That's
your
right.
home?
At present, Bronx, New York.
Bronx, New York.
That's right.
All right, we'll start you off this way. Mr. Sheffield will award you with one great, big, shiny silver dollar if you can tell us approximately how many times... It's just a guesswork now, if you don't know. Mr. Sheffield, how many times Mr. Sheffield can deliver the average bottle of Sheffield milk without having the bottle broken or lost?
You mean for each...
Each pleasant? Bottle, in other words. How many times can he refill it and send it out? Make a guess.
I'd say about 20.
That's very good. The average is 25 deliveries. Out of every 1,000 bottles delivered, at least 5% disappear. Just read that in the paper today. I thought it'd be a good question. Give him a dollar, will you? He was smarter than I was. He knew it. Do you do much reading, Jack?
I do.
What, fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction and fiction at times.
Do you buy or do you rent your books?
Well, no, I have them at home.
You have them at home?
That's right.
What's a good book that you've read recently?
Well, quite a few things.
Well, can you name one?
Give me like amongst love affairs.
Love affairs?
That's right.
Well, tell me what love affair. I'm writing a sequel to a famous book, For Whom the Bells Toll. It's called For Whom the Bronx Cheer. It's my autobiography. Have you read a good love story lately?
Well, I read about someone living a good, happy life.
Who was that?
Name was John Pinner.
John Pinner? What book's that?
Oh, it was an out-of-town book.
Out-of-town book?
That's right.
You mean it couldn't come into town?
Come on to New York.
What kind of book is an out-of-town book? This I don't know about. Why is it an out-of-town book?
They say it's a military secret.
A military secret? Oh, you're making jokes with
no,
me.
No, I'm not, no.
So far, they're not any better than the ones I've been stuck with tonight either, Mr. Brownfield. All right, we're going to play a Guess Who record for you tonight. The 10 silver Sheffield dollars are right waiting for you if you can name the voice of this man who's had a career as a newspaperman, radio speaker, and an employee of the government. We're waiting for you now. You tell us. Mr. Brownfield, here we go.
The World War of 1914 to 18, with its appalling losses and suffering, was ended. That had been called a war to end war, to make the world safe for democracy, and it seemed to have been won. The great military empires had...
Look a little puzzled. Do you want a hint?
Sound like Roosevelt to me.
It isn't Roosevelt, no. This man wrote for the New York Times. At one time, before the war, he was a commentator. Now he has the job again. During the war, he was the head of the OWI, the Office of War Information. He's back on the air. You can hear him.
Edgar Hoover?
No. J. Edgar Hoover, no. This is Elmer Davis. I'm sorry, Mr. Brownfield. Give him $2 and we'll add the other eight to the jackpot and you'll have a chance at that. Just have time here now for a very charming young lady. Your name, please?
Lila Applebaum.
Lila Applebaum. And where do you live, Lila?
Bronx.
You've seen those chewing gum machines in the subway stations?
Yes.
I'll give you a Sheffield silver dollar if you can tell me approximately how much money a gum machine takes in a month. Make a guess.
One machine?
One machine.
Oh, about $100.
$100 in a month? That'd be a wonderful business. I'm sorry, Lila. $5 a month is all they take, but there's so many of them, it's still a good business. You go to school, Lila?
Yes.
What school?
Taft
School? Do you ever watch the fire engines go through the street?
Yes.
How fast do you think they travel? For another dollar.
Oh, about,
When they're going fast now.
About 60 miles?
Nope. At the best, 35 miles an hour.
Oh,
isn't that an amazing thing? That fooled me, too. I used to belong to a volunteer fire department down home in Bellevue. One night, the girls' dormitory caught fire. Girls' dormitory took fire, and it took 5 minutes for us to put the fire out and 5 hours to put the fireman out. Lila, we're going to play a record for you. Gee, I'm sorry I pulled those two tough ones on you, but they fooled me, too.
Okay.
Listen to the music of a famous maestro. This fellow's a band leader. He was trained in the classical field, and he makes most of his money playing popular music. 10 silver Sheffield dollars, if you guess who. makes a lot of records. He has a Russian name. He's married to a famous Metropolitan Opera soprano.
And I know him.
You do, too. He has directed many famous symphony orchestras. Lily!
Stokowski? No, not Stokowski. Andrei Kostelanis.
Andrei Kostelanis. She found the name in time. Give her the $10. Give her a nice hand. And let's get in here with milk payola. Don't kill it now, Joe. It has $73 in it so far, and as everybody knows, we divide it up if there's more than one winner. If no one knows all the answers, we carry it over until next week. Here we go. We play three songs, and the title of each one is Something You Can Do With Your Mouth. You must get all three to win. Something You Can Do With Your Mouth in the title. Play the first one, Gene. Write it down. Don't let anybody else look at your card now. You've got to get all three to win. Something else you can do with your mouth. In the title of this song. Number two, here's the one you have to get. Got to get all three to win. Something else you can do with your mouth. Play it, Gene.
While half second on the pay all the winners, here's a reminder for you folks who are vacationing at a nearby resort. Be sure to take advantage of Sheffield's vacation transfer service. Just tell your home service salesman when you plan to move back to the city. He'll see that your order is transferred and that you continue to get your regular supply of that good Sheffield milk when you return home.
Joe, we have two winners tonight. Miss Betty Roach from the airlines and Richard G. Stein of the United States Army. Here are the titles. Smoke Rings, you can smoke. Whispers in the Dark, you can whisper. And I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, which makes it right. All right, there we have it. So split it up between the two of them. And this is your Sheffield milkman, Happy Felton, saying good night, everybody.
This is Joe Ripley reminding you that Guess Who is presented Saturday at 7 by Sheffield Farm and the National Dairy Products Corporation. Milk protection food, don't waste a single drop. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.